gifts of the Spirit covered tonight. We'll review just briefly because I know there's a lot of people here who weren't here last week. So with that, go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll try to do a quick review. And I just want y'all to know that the after comments last week, I took so many notes. Like, this is what my page looks like now, that I got from y'all after we covered the scriptures. So that's a good day. Something that Travis brought up last week in the comments section was about how the beginning verses of 1 Corinthians 12 outline the rest of the chapter, and I thought that was really good. And so I kind of took that thought and dug in on it, and actually was, can't remember which speaker it was, if it was Keith Moore, maybe, that went through that. Yeah, I'll give you that reference here in a little bit. I know y'all came from his church, but verse 4, where it talks about diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, Travis brought out how verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6 all kind of end differently. The same Spirit, the same Lord, you know, how important that was and why it was important. So verse 4, diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, which is talking about the Holy Spirit is over the gifts. The gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit. And those are covered in verses 7 through 12. And then verse 5, it's differences of administrations or ministries or offices. And Jesus is over those placements in the body. And those are covered in verses 12 through 27. And then verse 6, diversities of operations or activities. And God the Father is over all the operation. I don't think it was Keith Moore or Rick Renner one said, he's the orchestrator. He's the orchestrator. God's the orchestrator. And those are in verses 28 through 31. So the point being, the whole chapter is about how we fit in the body of Christ and how we can be used, if we make ourselves available, how we can be used in the body of Christ. That's really what the whole chapter is about. And if I love how it starts off. Let's just go there. Y'all are already there, aren't you? Verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual, remember the word gifts is added, but concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And I love that statement because what it tells me is I can be ignorant, but I don't have to be. I can be ignorant, and you can go, none of this makes any sense to me. I don't know what this is. And we can remain ignorant, or we can go, I want to know what this is. I want to know what the spiritual life, we've been talking about the Spirit-led life. I want to know what that means, what's available, how he needs to use me. Because if I remain ignorant in it, I'm not available for it. And so I just love that very first sentence that he has there. And we talked about a word of wisdom, which had to do with what? Future. Word of wisdom has to do with future. We talked about that one, and we talked about the word of knowledge, which has to do with past and present. And so we went through those. We gave examples of those. They are both gifts that reveal something. Number 3 that we're going to cover tonight, starting in verse 9, is a gift that does something, or some people call it the power gifts. It's a gift that does something. It's very interesting, and I think it will take us the full 30 minutes that we're going to spend tonight. And Dylan, if you'll remind me to get that clock fixed next week. Take it down. The people want their ice cream tonight. There's times that you listen to the congregation or they get violent. This is a gift that does something. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Remember, all of these gifts are by the same Spirit. It's just the Holy Spirit is manifesting, showing parts of himself and what he can do different ways. And so it's the same Spirit. These aren't different spirits. They are different gifts of the Spirit. Gift of faith. I think it has to be one of my favorites. I think it's very intriguing. It's sometimes maybe a little harder to label. Not that we have to label other than for knowledge. I love the definition that Brother Hagin would give. And he said that it is the inability to doubt. And a lot of times, what's so interesting about this one to me is a lot of times this one will operate in both the person that's delivering the gift, if you will, and the person that's receiving the gift. It often works with gifts of miracles, like for the person to be able to receive the miracle or the miraculous thing that's happening. You might need the gift of faith. And sometimes the person that's delivering it needs the gift of faith to be able to deliver it. And so sometimes this one you'll see kind of flow through both people, because there are things that God wants to do that are above what you can imagine doing. But yet God wants to do it. So what does he do? He gives you the gift of faith. This isn't faith that you've gotten through Romans 10:17, where you've heard the word and you've exercised faith. This is a gift of God's faith. Suddenly. Oh, boom. Don't we? This is a good one to desire. It's for a moment. It's for a time. It's a sudden impartation of, I think Keith Moore called it special faith. It's a sudden impartation of a special faith at a critical moment. And when it lifts, it lifts. It's not a faith that stays on you. It's for a critical time or critical moment. And I thought about Dad in the early days when they were just traveling, and all of this was just, there was just really a revival of the gifts that was going on in the charismatic movement. And I don't remember where he was ministering. I think it was somewhere in South Arkansas. But they brought him a baby, and it was a baby girl. She was a baby girl. And some of her reproductive organs were not there. And the gift of faith came on Dad. And he declared, and y'all, you don't do this. You don't conjure, we talked about this last week, you don't conjure these things up or you're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt people and you're going to discredit your ministry. He looked at her and told her to take her to the doctor, that the parts would be there. And then they left the meeting, they're driving home, and it lifted. The gift of faith lifted off of Dad, and he wondered what on earth he had just told that mama. When it was there, he had the inability to doubt. When it was gone, he had the ability to doubt. That's how you know it's the gift of faith. You'll often find it working with the other doing gifts, workings of miracles, you know, gifts of healings, and both sides. And I love this. It's when you...
She had those female organs when she went.
Yes, yes. Yes, when they took her back to Children's or wherever it was she was, everything was in place. And she is, of course, a grown woman today. She probably has grandchildren by now, but she had children. She was an infant at the time, but as she grew up and those organs were in place, everything was in place and working, then she was able to have children. But that's a great example, the best one I have, of the gift of faith and then that lifting of it. I'm so glad he shared that with us. And taught us so that, you know, you don't panic when that lifts and then doubt tries to come. If it was there in that moment, we'll look at an example biblically here in just a minute. Praise God. But this is not something you want to conjure up just because you want attention for working miracles. Because you can't. It's a gift of the Spirit, and they are as He wills. You can lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. That's a promise to the believer. And you do that by common faith. And this is something that Brother Moore brought out in what I was watching yesterday. Is when Paul was writing Titus, he talked to Titus about common faith. That's the common faith that we can all have by hearing and exercising the word. But this gift of healing is a gift. It's like God says, here's my faith, use it for this moment. I want to experience that. I just want the Holy Spirit to know right now. I want to experience it. I want to be able to look at somebody and a limb grow back and them be able to finish life whole. And in every example that you find in the scripture where the gift of faith was in operation and working miracles, gifts of healings, what happened afterwards was glory was brought to God and many people came into the kingdom. And if we're going to have revival in the United States of America, and I'm not talking about something revival we're trying to conjure up, which I see all the time, you know, we're going to have revival meeting, you know. Well, revival, you're not going to have to advertise it. If you start being available and we start being available to operate in the gifts and miracles and signs and wonders start happening, you don't even have to worry about putting your phone number on the internet because they will seek you out. And it's going to bring glory to God. And that's really what these gifts do. They bring glory to God. There's no other way for them to happen. Wasn't your faith other than your faith to be available. And so many people get caught up in the attention of these things. And I can't remember, one of the guys I was listening to this week said, you know, some people get so caught up in the gifts, but they don't have the character to carry those gifts. Because it brings attention to yourself, and then you've got to be able to point people to Christ rather than yourself. This isn't meant to be a show other than to show that it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God and not to be confused with anything else. Smith Wigglesworth called it a faith that cannot be denied. Whew. He was a plumber. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. I love that. I don't know what you do, but Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. And his neighbor was sick. And his wife, you know, told him, hey, the neighbor's sick and, you know, it's really serious. And so he was praying for her, just praying at his house, just as you would, interceding for her. And his wife came in and she said, quit praying, she's dead. The gift of faith came on Brother Wigglesworth. And he kept praying. And his wife was like, she's dead. You can quit praying. And he kept praying. And he went over to her house, picked her up out of the bed, stood her against the wall, and commanded her to walk. Let me tell you, when you pick up a dead body and you stand it up against the wall and you tell it to walk, you better have the gift of faith in operation. Seriously, you don't just go do that stuff. And so it that inability to doubt and that's the way he said. He said it was a faith that could not be denied. How did he make himself available? He was praying. He was a willing vessel. And a faith came on him that empowered him with faith beyond what he had developed himself. I don't know, this one just excites me so much. It's just so amazing that all of a sudden, nothing you've worked for. You know, like sometimes I shouldn't say we work for faith, but we do. I mean, we consciously hear the word and exercise what the word says to develop our faith. But to have God say, and it's a faith that cannot be denied, You aren't near as excited about this as I am. Whew, that's good. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything here in my notes. Oh, it often employs a faith that is for a sustained a miracle that takes some time or a continuous miracle. And often think about the children of Israel when they come to the Red Sea. And you think about this. I mean, some of y'all have been to the ocean this year. And if you think about a sea splitting, parting, and the walls of water. You know, it's one thing to part a sea. It's another thing to walk in between the massive walls of water. For a continuous amount of time. This was thousands of people, animals, things being brought across this dry bed of the sea. That gift of faith had to hold for them, as long as the walls of water were held for them. Or you're going to freak out. You're going to get midway and you're going to panic. Being in a lion's den. Yes, it's a miracle that the lions' mouths were closed, that the angels held their mouths shut. But it's also a miracle that Daniel slept. It was a gift of faith. And it had to be for a continued amount of time. Because if he hadn't had the gift of faith, at some point his mind would be wondering when those lions were going to let loose. So, three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. It's great to see the fourth man in the fire, but at the same time, you're in the fire. So you need the gift of faith to sustain you while the miracle is being completed, or the healing or whatever. So you'll see this one a lot in the Old Testament, but we're going to look at a New Testament example here in just a minute. The example in the Old Testament of parting the sea is in Exodus 14, if you want to make note of that. And the Paul writing to Titus about the common faith is in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. And common faith literally means general faith, ordinary faith. Not that faith is ordinary, but you know what I mean? It's available to anyone, where this is a gift at the will of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. All right, go to Acts chapter 3. I had never, ever thought of the two passages we're going to cover tonight. This is why you listen to people, because sometimes we can get in a rut. And we've heard things, especially if you're like me. I mean, I grew up under my dad and Charles, and I heard them. Alicia, you were the same way. Wes, same thing. Who all grew up in this church? Like, grew up, like, from childhood? Not if you were old and then you grew up, but if from childhood. Okay, that's quite a few of us. This is really important that we listen to other people of like and precious faith. And you want to be careful who you want to listen to, obviously. They need to line up with the Word of God. This is really good because sometimes they can, my dad used to say, climb the mountain another way. Same mountain, same truth, but they can say things differently and bring out something to you that just grows you. And so that's why, you know, I'm careful about who I listen to, but I have some that, and I always reserve the right to change my mind because I've been shocked by a few ministries. And I give them grace, but I might not listen to them for a time while they're repenting and growing. But Keith Moore's been a good one for me. He has a ministry of integrity as far as I know, and that's important to me when I'm listening to somebody. He's out of Branson, in case you don't know. But he gave this example, and I thought it was just really, really good. So Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. You've got to take note of that. First of all, this guy is now a man, and he's never walked. He's been lame from his mother's womb, from birth. He was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This was his routine. This was his custom. Is they took him, they laid him to beg close to the temple there at the gate. And that's how he had income, was from begging there. And this was a daily thing. You have to ask yourself the question, did Jesus ever walk by this guy? Did Jesus ever go to the temple? Did the disciples ever walk by this guy? Did they ever go to the temple? The apostles, did they ever walk by this guy before? Did they ever go to the temple? Verse 3. And this guy, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. When Keith Moore was reading this, he said, this was a different day. And I love that. I have that written in my Bible now. Because this was the usual. They probably passed by this guy hundreds of times. But this day, Peter looks at him. And this is something important to learn. And I think I said this to Rudy Sunday morning when we were dedicating baby Allison. When I saw, I'd seen Rudy before because he had cut my grandkids' hair. But when he and Gabby got married and started coming, I just, you know, you see somebody and you just think, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing with this person? What are you doing? Not that they're any more special than anybody else. But sometimes you see somebody and there's like this, there's a difference. I'd seen him. But then there was a day that there was something different. And this day, Peter and John walk past this guy and something gets their attention. And if you're going to be used and be available to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, pay attention when God asks you to pay attention. And I remember my dad saying, a lot of times it will feel, and I think this is what I said to Rudy, it'll feel like, and I don't mean an attraction in a male-female sense, but there'll be like an attraction, a drawing, thank you, Mom, a drawing to that person. Don't ignore that, because God may be fixing to have you say something to them, to pray something, to be used in the gifts. Don't ignore that statement right there. They fastened their eyes upon him. I just like that word, fastened. Fastening, you know, they connected to him. It wasn't just seeing him. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them because he thought they were going to put something in the bucket, right? He thought that he was expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Guess what he's fixing to give him? A gift. A gift. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he did something bold. He took him by the hand and he lifted him up. I kind of picture that as a bold move. He took him by the hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Y'all, something changed in this man's body. I don't know what his diagnosis was. I don't know if something had to be recreated. I don't know if this was a healing or if this was a miracle, but what needed to be there for him to walk was not there and had never been there. And you look at somebody and you say, get up and walk. And you are bold enough to, I believe the gift of faith had to be in operation here. You know, a lot of people would have looked at you and said, but I'm crippled. Nothing is said about this man hearing the gospel. We're going to compare this to another passage here in just a minute. Nothing said here about he had heard about Jesus for faith to come. I'd never thought about it before. I don't believe, I can't read this to you, but I don't believe this was a common faith in operation right here. I believe there was some gifts of the Spirit in operation right here. Because there's nothing said about he had heard about Jesus or he called upon them to come pray for him. He's begging like he did every other day. And here comes these guys. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him. What's about to happen? They saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. And that's what the gifts will do. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Can I prove this to you? No. I'm going to see. This is Bible study night, okay? And you may see something in there that can change my mind. But to me, there's gifts in operation right here. Because there's nothing said about, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. She made the move because of her faith. She made the move. Jesus didn't even know who touched him. There's nothing mentioned here about this guy's faith. About him believing, about him asking, about him calling out to these guys. He's just there begging. And God delivers him a gift that is beyond silver and gold. Now, let's look at Acts 14. I just found this so fascinating. If you don't, I'm sorry. We got ice cream for you. But I look at these things and I'm like, God, how do I read your word and not pick up on these things? You know, but I got it because somebody else got it, and I'm thankful. So when Brother Moore was talking on this, he took the church to Acts 14 in comparison. We kind of have the same situation here. Verse 7 says that they were preaching the gospel. And what happens when the apostles are preaching the gospel? Faith comes, right? To those that hear, it says, and there was a crippled man or an impotent man who was sitting there, a certain one actually, at Lystra, being crippled from his mother's womb. Interesting. Crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak. What happens when we hear? Faith comes. Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul steadfastly beholding him, picking up on something, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. This crippled man had faith to be healed. Paul triggers that faith, because obviously the man's sitting there with faith to be healed, and it catches Paul's attention. He's drawn to that, like we just talked about. And I do believe that this, you know, this could be gifts of healings or working of miracles in play here. But what we're talking about tonight is the gift of faith. This guy heard the word. This guy had faith to be healed. And Paul says with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And the guy leaped and walked. Peter went over, tells him to arise, lifts him up. This guy speaks the word and the guy obeys the word, responds to the word, and he gets up and leaps and walks. In Acts 3, nothing said about hearing or hoping or having faith. There's a boldness there on Peter in chapter 3 where he is endowed with boldness to lift this guy up. And the guy is able to receive where it says nothing about him having faith. I see that as the gift of faith. This one to me seems different. There's still, I believe, gifts involved, possibly. For the man to have never walked, something has to be put into place that wasn't in place before. We don't know what his diagnosis was. But he received strength and was able to walk as well. But it's different. And I can't wait to hear what y'all have to say about it. Because I find this fascinating. And the more we can learn, I think it'll help us to know what's happening inside us when we're delivering one of these gifts. If there's a boldness that comes on you, and it's an undeniable faith, as Smith Wigglesworth said, if it's a faith that cannot be denied, deliver it. Whatever gift God's doing for that person, deliver it. Because if it's an undeniable faith on your part and on their part, it's fixing to happen. And it's just simply a gift from God. But if you're praying for somebody, they've come up for prayer because they have faith to be healed, then it's going to be like Jesus said, let it be according to your faith. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. There's a difference.